This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
And today we're still in our summer family reunion series where we love it. Every year we get to invite friends old and new back to Woodland Hills as guest speakers. And today is one of our old friends, David Nasser. He was just here a few weeks ago, and we were very blessed as a church by his message and what the Lord has done through him here at our church. And so can you help me welcome back to Woodland Hills our friend David Nasser?
Thank you, buddy. Good morning. Man, what an honor to be back. Like it was just said, I was here just a few weeks ago, and I remember the Sunday that I was here, we were preparing for the very next Sunday to be a Sunday where we as a church were going to celebrate a baptism. And I think Pastor Ted had told me that you had 16 baptisms scheduled for one Sunday. I was like, man, that's going to go long. You know, that's a lot of baptisms on a Sunday. You ended up baptizing on that Sunday, let me make sure I got this right, 89 people, all right? And so not 15. That's amazing. And I hope that you know that for such a time as this, God has given you something really special at this church. And I think God gets the glory, but I want to honor you. Well done, good and faithful servant. That so many people are coming to Christ. So many people are growing in Christ. And I think a big part of that is also just the leader that you have. I love Pastor Ted and Amy and thank the world of them. So again, God gets the glory, but I want to honor them and just say, man, I hope you know what you got in him. He's an incredible, incredible leader and pastor. He cheated at golf. But that's beside the point. I just want to throw that out. He took me to play golf. He didn't. He's a great, great golfer as well. I'm going to preach to you today on intent. That's going to be the title of the message. And I don't know a lot of people who really talk a lot about this, but I want to kind of confess something to you right off the bat and say that as we unpack the passages that we're going to unpack today, I think the best way to unpack it is to be vulnerable and to be transparent and raw with some illustrations on how this is something that's very real to me in my own life. And I want you to know that if we're really going to get into this together, that I have to model it for you and let you know that this is not somebody who has got this figured out, but somebody who continues to struggle with this in my own faith. And as you hear these stories, you're either going to go, that is one of the most ungodly people who's ever been on stage, or you're going to go, man, at least he's letting me know that we're all in this together. We're all in this struggle together. And so we're going to talk about intent today. And as we do, we're going to look at a moment where Jesus, in history, where Jesus preaches the greatest sermon that's ever been taught. All right. And so we're going to go to the Sermon on the Mount. And if you have your Bibles, we'll go together to Matthew 6. And while you're going there, let me just kind of give us a little context before the text. Jesus is addressing believers in this sermon. And as he's addressing believers, he knows that non-believers are peeking in. And so Jesus is talking to his dirty dozen. And while he's talking to believers, non-believers are getting to listen in on the family reunion, all right? The family discussion that they're having. And Jesus wants in this moment to communicate to both. And he wants the believers in the room to know that as they're out doing what they're doing in the kingdom of God, that what is just as important as what they're doing is why they're doing it. And so Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about, and we're going to look at one of them today, talks about the idea of charity, like doing good works for those who are hurting, those who need help. And then he talks about fasting, and then he talks about prayer, but he sets some footings before he gives them instructions on how to do it, about the intent on why they would do what they're doing. And so today we're going to talk about prayer, but this is so much more than prayer. This is about everything and anything in the Christian life. And as he's giving us these instructions, we know the Lord's Prayer, but we so often fast forward, and in the shadow of that, this fly-by little couple of passages I think are pivotal for us on, again, not just doing what we're doing, but why we're doing it. Let me ask you this way. When is it ever wrong to do the right thing? Is it ever wrong to do the right thing? Well, I want to push back and say it can be wrong to do the right thing. It can always be wrong to do the right thing when you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. And don't get me wrong, I'd rather you do the right thing for the wrong reason than you do the wrong thing for the wrong reason. But God is a God who doesn't want to settle for just motion when he actually wants so much more for us. And so Jesus is going to address that with us as we look at these few verses together. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:5-7. Jesus says, and when you pray, by the way, his assumption is that we are going to pray. That it's not if you pray, but when you pray. He does the same thing, by the way, when he talks about fasting, when you fast. He does the same thing when he talks about being giving and charitable to people. He says, when you do this. And so when we are working out our faith, when we're exercising it, sweating it out, when we're doing what we're doing as believers, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. So he's about to tell us what a hypocrite looks like. Don't be like these hypocrites, for they love to pray. Stop right there. Don't read any further. And let me just say, there's nothing wrong with praying. Prayer is tuning your heart frequency to the heart of God. Prayer is honest conversation with God. Prayer is a gift, right? We get to have communion with God. We get to have, it's not a one way, it's not a solo, it's a conversation. We get to have conversation with God. It's a gift, amen? And so what's making them a hypocrite is not the fact that they're praying. They actually don't just pray, they love to pray. But look at the reason for the season. Look at why they're doing what they're doing. He's saying, hey, before you begin to do this good thing, check yourself so that you won't wreck yourself. He's saying, when they're praying, they love to pray. And then the rest of it explains it. Standing in the synagogue and on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, instead, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like these pagans, for they think they're going to be heard because of their many words. And so, in the shadow of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus addresses the posture of the human heart more than, you know, the workings of it. He talks really about the posture of our heart. And the first thing he says is, when you're praying, here's the first one if you're taking notes, intention matters. When you're praying, why? Ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? When you're doing the good thing, when you, in a few minutes, you know, when we come back to sing again, or a little while ago when you were singing, you know, and we all, like, maybe you had your hand up. That's awesome. Like that you're, have your hand up if you have your hand up. That's awesome that you're singing. But are you having your hand up so people around you can see you have your hand up and think you're godly? Or do you have your hand up because you're in a heart posture of surrender before God? And so he's addressing the why. He says, why am I doing what I'm doing? One time we had just built this new home. And you ever notice when you build a new home, everybody who comes to your home just wants to see the new home. And a buddy of mine calls me and he said, hey, I just woke up this morning. We're on a tour bus. We're driving today. And it dawned on me that around lunchtime, we're going to be in your town. He goes, we're going to pull over somewhere and grab lunch. He goes, you want to come and meet us? And I just kind of like said to him on the phone, like real machismo. I was like, well, why don't you just come to the house for lunch? I'll grow you a big fat steak, you know? And he was like, well, don't you want to ask your wife? I'm like, I'm the man of this house. In the back of my mind, I was like, I need to ask permission. And so I hang up the phone and I go to my wife and I'm like, hey, we had 11 people on a tour bus that are about to pull up in about 45 minutes to come meet with us. And she goes, well, what house is a mess? I said, honey, I'll clean the house if you'll go to the grocery store and get some food. So she's running, you know, to the grocery store and I'm picking up. Picking up to me is like out of sight, out of mind. Just put stuff in closets and stuff. And so I'm doing all this and I come down to the basement and I'll never forget. I walked in and as soon as I walked to the basement, I was picking up. And then I opened up this closet. As you went down the stairs to the basement, there's this closet that you can make in your basement, right? That is like right under the stairs. It's kind of a V-shaped closet, right? And it's the outline of the stairs going down. And so I remember I opened it up and it dawned on me that that all the rooms in the house needed cleaning, but this house, this one closet didn't. Because when we built the house, we had ordered extra thick, shaggy carpet for this one little closet that was under the stairs. And we'd ordered that because we wanted that to be our prayer closet. And my wife had put like a prayer bench at the end of it. She'd put some prayer journals at the end of it. I'd bought a big like pillow and I'd put it there because we were going to spend like hours on bended knee, you know, and we were going to need the pillow and we were going to need all this different stuff. And we had vacuumed it and cleaned it. And for like 2-3 months, we'd been in this house and all the rooms needed cleaning, but the prayer closet had been untouched from the day we moved in. And I looked at it and I saw the vacuum marks, you know, and I saw the pillow all fluffy. And I thought to myself, my buddy's going to be here in about 45 minutes. And he's going to come and see the house. And when he comes to see the house, this guy's in like ministry. He's going to open up this prayer closet and he's going to see that it's never been used. I mean, it's just freshly carpeted. And so I walked over and I started messing up the carpet and I kicked in the pillow, two spots that looked like bended knees before a holy God. And I backed up and I looked at it and I thought, that looks like a prayer closet that's been used. And the Holy Spirit said, you beloved little idiot, you're shooting so low. You want to impress some Christian worship leader. And the sad thing is you might just get what you want. You might get your earthly reward. How's that working out for you? And so he's saying to you and I, he's saying to you and I that, hey, I want more for you than action. I want more for you than performance. I want the posture of your heart. I want you to do the right thing, but for the right reasons. And so intention is everything. Number two, it's not just intention. He says beyond that, ultimately, remember, this is who you're doing it with. Not just why am I doing this, but who am I doing this with? This is ultimately about intimacy. Prayer is an intimate conversation, a vulnerable conversation. Fasting is a intimate, communion with God. An act of service is an intimate communion with God. Everything and anything in the Christian life ultimately has one thing at aim. Everything and anything in the Christian life ultimately is not about being effective, but about being intimate. It's about growing in my walk with God, in my love affair with God. The heart behind every spiritual discipline is so that God and I would be deeper, deeper and deeper with one another. That's why the psalmist says deep calls to deep. A deep God doesn't want us to have a shallow faith. He wants us to have a deep-rooted faith. And so God is saying, into me see. Who are we doing this with? Who's the primary person that you do spiritual disciplines in the Christian life with? You acknowledge the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. One time I was going to be at one of my heroes' churches preaching on a Sunday. This guy named John Piper has had a profound impact in my life. John Piper was a pastor in Minneapolis for years, and he wrote books. So one of them is called Desiring God, that has had a profound impact in my life. Another one's called Hunger for God, profound impact in my life. Another one, Brothers Were Not Professionals, profound impact in my life. Another one, I'm actually just going on and on. John Piper is probably the author living. I usually choose dead authors because they finish well, but John Piper is probably the author living that has had a bigger impact in my life than anybody else. And so can you imagine like getting to preach in his pulpit one time? And so he was going to be on sabbatical for 4 weeks, and the last week of that sabbatical, since he was gone, they invited me to come and get to preach for him. And I remember the morning that I was getting to go to preach for him, I was told that this is the last day of Pastor John's sabbatical, being the very last Sunday of the month that he's gone. And so somebody had kind of said to me, there's a good chance Pastor John is going to be there this Sunday because he's going to be back from like being away. And so in my mind, driving to the prayer thing, you know, like church was going to start at 8 a.m., but they asked me to come at 7 so that we can come together and plan and pray together for like before the service. In my mind, as I was getting to the church, I thought, I can't wait to meet my hero, John Piper. So I get there, and some of the elders and some of the leaders come together, and they say, why don't we start to pray? And it dawned on me that like who is not in the room is John Piper yet. And I thought, I was told he's going to be here. So they said, let's pray. And it bothered me that John Piper wasn't there to pray. Not because like John Piper should be praying with me, but it bothered me because I realized that I had been thinking about stuff I was going to say in prayer. that was going to impress John Piper. You ever have somebody say something while you're praying with them? Like you're praying with somebody and they say something in prayer. And in the back of your mind, you're multitasking. You're like, amen, Lord. But you're also like, ooh, that's good. The next time I'm in another prayer huddle with other people, not including that person that just said it, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to say what they, anybody ever, come on, anybody? Oh, thanks for confessing. I don't, but I just drew you out. Thank you. So in my mind, I thought, man, I got an arsenal. I'm a professional prayer person. You know, I go to a lot of places and pray with a lot of people. And I thought in my mind, I was like, John Piper, forget him hearing me preach. Wait till he hears me pray. He's going to be like, who is this Iranian young man? He's the son in the ministry I've never really had, you know? And so I'm there and I'm praying. And you ever peek while you're praying? You ever open your eyes? You're going to hell. You can't. I remember, and the whole time we're praying, I keep looking up and the prayer circle's going around. And it's like 5 people away from me, 4 people away from me, 3 people away. And I keep going, when is John Piper going to get here to hear me pray? Anybody else? I'm the only one. Are you kidding me right now? And God is saying you are robbing yourself when who I am doing this with becomes this thing where like you've elevated it with the people and not the God of this universe who's saying, what I want out of this is you and me. You and me. Everything about this is about like intimacy with God. And so intention and intimacy. And the third one is intentionality. How am I approaching this in the first place? How am I approaching this? I love verse 7. It says in verse 7, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, because they're thinking they're going to be heard because of their many words. The ridiculousness that they are going to try to impress God with their 3-syllable words. Look at all the words, God, that I know that end with T-I-O-N, sanctification, redemption, justification. And God's like, wow, you're trying to impress me with words that I gave you? I'm not just the one who created words. I am the word. And so often we try to impress God with like this John MacArthur thing that we learned one time. And it's just silly games that we play. We don't need a ton of words, by the way. Like God, how many of you believe this? God knows what you need whether you use the words or not. God knows what you need more than you know what you need. Sometimes we use the words, and I think it was a great theologian, Garth Brooks, who said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Because sometimes we're asking God, please let her not break up with me. And God's like, oh, she's a dumpster fire. I need her to break up with you. And so God knows, how many of you believe this? God knows what you need before you even know how to ask for it, before you even know what to say. God knows better than you what you need. And by the way, nothing's ever surprised to God. God's not like sleep and they've got to wake him up and go, quick, God, the cancer's back. She needs you. God is always there, always on time. Nothing ever occurs to God. How many of you believe that about God? And yet we try to babble with many words and lather up spiritual Jesus juke language in order to try to impress a God who's saying, I just want your heart. And I just want you to want me. Next week, one of my best friends in the world, Alex Amaya, is going to be here to preach. It's not lost on me that in the shadow of the centennial, when we celebrate 250 years of this great nation, Pastor Ted has invited 2 Middle Eastern people back to back. How you like that? All right. So Alex is from Egypt. I'm from Iran. Anyway, I love Alex Amaya. He's amazing. But when I met Alex, he wasn't the pastor of a massive church with multiple campuses all over Oklahoma. When I met Alex, he was a youth pastor. And I remember one time he called me pretty late in one afternoon, and I answered the phone, I could tell something was up when he called me because his voice was different. He was like, hey, man. I said, hey, buddy, are you okay? Because I could just instantly tell something was up. And he goes, hey, I need you to pray for me. He goes, I'm in the back of an ambulance. And I was like, well, what's going on? And he started explaining what had happened was Alex was a youth pastor at this time, and he'd left on a Wednesday night. He'd left this youth building. They had this big youth building And as he walked out of the youth building, you ever walk out in the summertime out of a cold, air-conditioned youth big building, and when you walk out into the humidity of the South, you know, he'd walked out and he was running to his Honda Accord to get in and get going. He was late to try to get home, and when he got in, his glasses, he's got like, you know, thick glasses that he wears, had kind of fogged up. And so he sits down in his car. He's running late, so he's not thinking about it. He turns his car on. His glasses are all messy because, you know, he's gone from the cold to the humid end. And so he takes his glasses off. He starts cleaning his glasses, and he's not paying attention while he's, like, getting going. And so he puts his car in drive. He's driving, and while he's cleaning his glasses, he's blind without them, all right? He's cleaning. As he's putting them on, he looks, and he's going about 30 miles an hour, and right in front of his car, like right in front of him, is, you know how parking lots have the big lights, but sometimes the lights are on a big concrete pillar, and this pillar is right in front of him. And so he said, man, I just like hit this pillar dead on. Like I just crashed into this pillar. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I looked up as I'm putting it, and I see it, and I go, Jah! And I just hit. And he said, and the reason I said, Jah! Is because like the airbag came off. And so I hit that. He goes, and I'm okay, but I'm not okay. And so I need you to pray. And in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm so glad he's okay. And no one can ever take this away from me. This is awesome. And we start ragging each other, and I'm like, bro, I'm so glad you're all right. And we start laughing about the fact that he was driving down that road, and as he was driving down that road in that parking lot, he hit. I said, what do you mean? You said, Jah. He said, I was going to say Jesus, but the airbag stopped. He goes, Jah. He says, all I got out was Jah. And I was like, but how would they even know this cry to heaven? How would they know what Jah? Is Joseph going, is he talking about me? Is Jacob going, maybe he's talking about me? Maybe Josiah is going, is he talking about me? Maybe Judas is in hell going, is he talking about me? I mean, like, all you got out was Jah. You're laughing because it's silly. Why? Because how many of you believe you don't need to say Jesus? And if you say Jesus, Jesus goes, yes. Jesus, in just a second, I'm going to hit this pole. And when I hit this pole and the ambulance people come, I pray that the paramedics, Jesus, will see the blood that's ooshing out of my ear and will be reminded of what you shed on the cross, God. You're renowned. Like, you don't have to say, oh, how many of you believe it? I'm saying this because you're looking at me like it's silly. How many of you believe you don't need to say it? You don't even need to have to say it. You don't even need to say, Jah. You could have said, that's it. You don't even need. How many of you believe Jesus knew before he even knew what he needed? Now look at me. We walk with that confidence and that kind of intentionality. Who am I? How am I approaching this? I'm coming knowing that everything that I'm going to say to God in conversation, everything that I'm ever going to do God with for God in my working out my salvation with fear and trembling and worry, everything in the Christian life, everything that's happening, right, is ultimately happening so that I am growing in my love affair for him. And so the aim in all of this, the intentionality, the purpose in all of this is ultimately I'm approaching this not with like, I'm going to do this so that he'll do this. It's like, I'm doing this for me. When I pray, this doesn't bother me. I mean, like, I don't even have to say his name, or I don't even have to pray. But what this means is like, when I come before the throne of God and I begin to pray, I'm not coming to God to say words so that we can begin that discussion on how to plan our lives. I'm coming and I'm saying things out loud so that it will help me grow and I can discover his plan for my life. So this is for me. It's a gift to me. And so intention, intimacy, and intentionality. And what's not lost on me is that we're talking today the illustration of everything in the Christian life and its intent as it relates in this particular moment to prayer. And what I don't want to do is celebrate this idea and not submit to it. And so I've made sure that we have exactly 10 minutes and 20 seconds left with my time with you. And so I've made sure that the biggest part of our time this morning is not just us talking about this, but walking into a few minutes that we were going to set aside to, since we talked about prayer, to, you ready for this? Actually pray. All right. And so can we just do this? Can we begin to position our hearts, all right, before God in prayer? So if you would, bow your heads if you want to. You don't have to, but bow your heads if you want to. If you want to get out of your seat and kneel, you can. If you want to lean forward, you can. Just put yourself into a posture of prayer. And some of you, this is going to be very, very difficult for you because the last time you had 10 minutes without an iPhone in your hand was a long time ago. And already you're thinking about other things. Already you're thinking about, like, we got to get to the car. I need to get out this afternoon. Already your mind is chasing. I can't believe the Spurs won or didn't win. I can't believe this happened. Like, just right now for the next 5 or 6 minutes, can you just unplug from everything else? This is spiritual concentration. And I want to walk you through what we call just a systematic few minutes of prayer. We call this the ACTS prayer, A-C-T-S. And so first and foremost, just right now, in this moment, I want to walk you through a progression of prayer. So I'm inviting you to this. You ready? First and foremost, just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to come into adoration. That's the A in ACTS, adoration. And here's what I mean by that. Praise God right now, in the very beginning of this, praise God for who He is. Not what He's done, not what you need, but first and foremost, right now, take the next 2 minutes and just praise God for who He is, His character, His goodness, His power, His love. Praise God for who He is. Not, you did this for me or whatever. Just say, God, You are love. God, You are patient. God, You are provider. God, You are kind. God, You are there. Others have come and gone, but You are there. God, so many have been inconsistent, but You are consistent. Thank You for Your consistency. God, You're faithful. I've been unfaithful. You're faithful. So just right now, take the next few minutes. Look at the circumstances around your life and what God has revealed about His character and just adore Him right now. Just adore Him. Right now, take the next few minutes and just affirm God for who He is. Not what He's done, for who He is. Come before His throne and just thank Him for the person that He is. God, Your Savior. God, Your healer. God, You're good. You're good. Your comforter. God, You're honest, You confront, You're strong, You're mighty. God, You're beautiful. Now let's go from adoration to confession. Just bring before God things that He already knows, by the way. Nothing's going to dawn on Him. Before God right now, admit sins and ask for forgiveness. That's why I front-loaded so much of this today with just every illustration being my own shortcomings. There's nothing that you're going to say to God right now. God, I looked at what I wasn't supposed to look at. God, I have such a horrible attitude towards people. God, I'm so judgmental. God, so often I walk away from a conversation and think, I can't believe that I was so mean. I can't believe that I gossiped. I can't believe that I'm so mad. God, I'm so unforgiving. I want to forgive, but I just don't have it in me to forgive. They've hurt me. God, the person I'm sitting by, I love them, but I don't like them. And so much of it is just I refuse to give them a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. And if they were to be honest and say things about me, I would be the first to be honest to say it's true. And so confess right now. Come before the Lord and just confess, admit sins, and begin to ask for forgiveness. I can go ahead and tell you, God's response to every confession is, I love You, I forgive You, I want You. I'm here for you. I already knew. There's nothing you're going to say to God. God, the other day I just lied. I lied at that meeting so that I could get more money. And I'm sorry, God. I left my convictions at the door. I'm sorry. God, I've taken measures into my own hands, and some of it has been ungodliness. because fear has made me panic and do things that is unbecoming of a child of God. And I ask for your forgiveness. God, I'm so nice to all these other people, but my own family. Just come before God right now. Just continue to confess to him things that he already knows. And now let's walk into thanksgiving. Thank God for his blessings, for his answered prayers, for his daily provision. Just get specific. God, thank you. Thank you that my son is coming over for dinner this week. God, thank you that that job came through. God, thank you. Thank you that you've put me in this place where I have air to breathe today. Thank you, Lord, that the cancer's still there, but my joy is not gone. Thank you, God. I trust you that you mean well. And so thank you, God, for fill in the blank. This is that moment when it's different from adoration. We're not talking about who he is, but what he's done. Thank him specifically for places in your life where God has been faithful. God, thank you. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this news. And thank you, God, that even though it wasn't the news we were wanting, at least it's settled now. Thank you, God. Fill in the blank. Thank you that I have insurance, that I can go to a doctor. God, I take for granted that I have a car that works and gets me back and forth. Thank you, God. I complain and complain and complain about this and this and this, but I have so much more. Thank you, God, that I get to be at a church this morning and I'm not arrested for walking into an assembly of believers like so many other people around the world, the persecuted church. I've just been grumbling, but now I just want to come and say thank you. Just continue to thank him. And finally, so often we front load with this, but finally, instead of letting this be our first way, let this be the fourth thing. Let's come to supplication. So after adoration and confession and thanksgiving, let's come now and bring your request to God for yourself and for others. God, would you just save my son? God, will you give me that job? Lord, you know that I really need this job. God, I've been praying that that interview had gone well. I pray that, God, I get good news. Lord, you know what I need. I trust you no matter what, but you know, God. God, this is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. Will you step in, God? Will you provide? Will you protect? God, I need you to give me something supernatural so that I can forgive this person. I can't do it on my own. They've hurt me too much. The wound is too deep. But God, will you give me compassion for people that have been so cruel to me? It's right now. Come before the Lord. And this is the moment. Bring your needs before him. Be specific. I have needs in my life. And who do I go but God? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Endless supply. So I come to God. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come and be available. And as our prayer team comes, here in just a second when we dismiss, some of you, as you've been praying adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, might just sense that today you want someone to pray with you. Then maybe, whether it's confession or even thanksgiving or even honestly just an answer to prayer, you want to celebrate with somebody, you just want to say out loud as an act of worship, or you just want to say, man, I want others to agree with me in this season. I'm in a season and I need a miracle. And in this moment, you might want someone to pray with you. Just know that our prayer team in all of our different gatherings, multiple gatherings here, anywhere that we're huddling up together, not just this room, but other spaces, just know that they're going to be prayer partners that'll be here, that'll be available. They'd love to intercede with you in some sense. Man. Amen. Look at me just real quick. This is something new for me. I've started posting on Sunday mornings the sermon outline, and I've started putting other things that didn't make it in the sermon. Like I have a Charles Spurgeon quote, for example, this morning that I ran out of time for, and I actually had 4 points, you know, and I had one more INT. And so I So I started posting those. So if anybody's interested, and if that would be helpful and fruitful for your life, you just go on at David Nasser on Instagram or on Twitter, and just know that they'll be posted today. They're already posted this morning, all right? So you can get the notes and some other thoughts around this that'll help you if it's fruitful into your life, all right? I love you. It's always an honor to be in one of my very favorite churches. God bless you. If you need prayer and supplication, just come, all right?